on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akila Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Tuzla has commenced investigations after a young child was injured at a childcare facility in Donegal. Drink driving in the county has increased 111% over the past year. The Dáil has heard how the closure of the Donegal ISPCA centre is detrimental to animal welfare in the northwest. And the HSE has acknowledged that Donegal faces specific problems in fulfilling home help requests due to its geography. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Mark Gallagher at about 5:15. First news this evening, Tuzla has commenced investigations after a young child was injured at a childcare facility in Donegal. It's understood the child has been transferred to Dublin for hospital treatment. Donegal County Childcare Committee has confirmed that it is aware of the alleged incident at a preschool. Gardaí, meanwhile, say they are investigating all the circumstances surrounding the incident. There will be just three names on next month's presidential election ballot paper. Maria Steen failed to receive the required backing of 20 TDs and senators by midday today with just 18 signatories. Heather Humphreys, Jim Gavin and Catherine Conley will now compete to make it to the arras. Speaking earlier today, Maria Steen says she's proud of herself.
Make the ballot has not been successful, but I do not feel I have lost. I have the privilege of returning to life at home with a wonderful family.
A judge at Belfast Crown Court has ruled hearsay evidence in the trial of Soldier F is admissible. It means the trial will continue. 13 people were killed on Bloody Sunday in Derry in 1972 when members of the Army's Parachute Regiment opened fire on civil rights demonstrators. Former paratrooper Soldier F, who can't be identified, is charged with 2 murders and 5 attempted murders and has pleaded not guilty. The solicitor representing Bloody Sunday families spoke outside court, as did a representative from the Northern Ireland Veterans Movement.
The families obviously welcome very much the judgment and they look forward to the evidence starting to be called.
Met with great disappointment by the veterans who served in Northern Ireland. Apart from that, I'm afraid I can't say much more as the trial will now continue.
Drink driving in Donegal increased 111% over the past year. Latest CSO figures show that the number of harassment incidents, assaults and public order offences are also up in the county. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Driving while under the influence of drink or drugs in Donegal was up 14% in the second quarter of 2025 compared to the same period the previous year. Drink driving increased by 111%. There were no drug driving incidents recorded. The number of homicides, murders and manslaughters was up 33%. There was a 28% decrease in sexual offences. There were 19% less burglaries, thefts and robberies, while drug-related incidents were down 23%. Meanwhile, the number of harassments reported to Gardaí in Donegal increased by 35%. Assaults were up 6% and public order offences rose by 2%.
The Dáil has heard how the closure of the Donegal ISPCA centre is detrimental to animal welfare in the northwest. It's after last week 14 dogs found in horrific conditions were seized by Gardaí in Glenties. The ISPCA cited financial reasons for the closure of the centre in Ballyar. In response to Donegal Deputy Charles Ward, Minister Jim O'Callaghan says he hopes a centre would be available in the region.
Closure of the ISPCA Animal Centre in Donegal, a devastating decision that has detrimental animal welfare effects in the northwest region. Just over a week ago in Donegal, we saw 14 dogs rescued from horrific conditions, but these dogs have nowhere to go. They will travel to a considerable distance to reach the nearest facility, which means longer transport times, distressed, injured and abandoned animals, raising serious questions about their welfare and capacity of other centres to absorb the additional demands. I also raised questions about the costs, which will involve, given that Donegal Centre was closed because of serious financial challenges. Surely it doesn't make financial sense to close a centre, Minister, with the arrangements that have been made to ensure that the animals in Donegal continue to receive the appropriate care needed and transport to distances that do not compromise their welfare I've written to Minister Hayden asking, can she intervene and stop this centre
from
being closed immediately?
Minister, to respond.
Yeah, thanks very much, Deputy Ward. I wasn't aware that there was a closure in Donegal of the ISPCA centre. Obviously, it's a concern for people and for the animals of Donegal. I'll speak to Minister Hayden. I don't have an answer for you. I don't know where it is proposed that the closest centre will be for people in Donegal. I hope there will be one in Donegal or in the surrounding counties, but I will come back to you in respect to that, having spoken to Minister Hayden.
Taoiseach Simon Harris says attacks on a Gaza aid flotilla are deeply concerning. The activists on board the vessel say they've heard a number of explosions and drones have targeted their boat. Sinn Féin Senator Chris Andrews is among those on board. Speaking in New York, Taoiseach and Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Harris says the department is engaging with those on board.
This is an extraordinarily dangerous act that was undertaken last night, and I'm deeply concerned and troubled with what we've seen happen overnight. I've been kept up to date throughout the night and will continue to be doing that. From a consular point of view, my officials are keeping in touch with the coordinator on behalf of the Irish citizens on the flotilla, and we'll continue to do that in the hours and times ahead.
The HSE has acknowledged that Donegal faces specific problems in fulfilling home help requests due to its geography. Figures presented to the HSE's regional health forum show that at the end of August, 334 people were awaiting a home support service in the county, down 18%. 221 of those people were awaiting the provision of a new service. Councillor Declan Meehan has welcomed efforts by the HSE to address the challenges in Donegal.
An 18% decrease in the number of people waiting on home help packages is obviously very welcome, but there's clearly a lot more work to do. And we can note from the responses that I received yesterday from the HSE that Donegal has proportionately the longest and highest waiting lists. And one of the big issues there is the lack of funding that's been allocated to public service delivery in this area. Private service delivery is the main vehicle for delivering home help services in other areas across the region and across the country. An example of that is that only 14% of home help delivery in Donegal is privately delivered, whereas 79% of that in Galway is privately delivered. So we need to see more investment from the HSE. We need to see more recruitment from the HSE. If public is our main vehicle for delivery here in Donegal, there needs to be more resources put into it.
Is this one of those situations where what's effectively happening is managers elsewhere are trying to shoehorn a solution that works in one place into Donegal, when the reality is the geographical needs, the sociological needs and the health needs in Donegal are manifestly different?
That has been the case before, but I think that the HSE are trying to take into account the unique circumstances in Donegal so that they can have a tailor-made solution to this problem. And I think that that is hopefully what we have seen reflected in that 18% decrease over the past 7 months.
Glenties had the highest number of vacant properties in the country in the last quarter of 2023. Based on low levels of metered electricity consumption, the CSO says 1,636 units were vacant in the local electoral area. A total of 5,357 properties were lying vacant in Donegal in 2023. 1,064 of them in the Donegal LEA, 616 in Milford, 634 in Carndonagh, 499 in Buncrana, 384 in Letterkenny and 524 in Lifford Stranorler. The government has been accused of building wind farms to line the pockets of developers rather than create an opportunity for native renewable energy generation. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin claims he visited a wind farm in the county where half the windmills are switched off during the day. He says lacking infrastructure means the wind farms cannot be used to their full potential, which according to Deputy McLaughlin is very telling.
In recent weeks, I went to a hill above my hometown. There are over 20 turbines on that hill. Half of them are switched off during the day, half, because we don't have the electricity infrastructure to avail of the wind energy. So what it was about? It was about making profits for the people who developed those wind farms, not about reducing costs for our people. The potential of wind energy is actually huge. If you'd have worked in partnerships with communities, if you'd had ensured ownership as much as possible within communities, we would be benefiting hugely from that today. That's the facts. Again and again, your intentional policies have put huge profits in the pockets of the few and have caused huge difficulties for the rest of us. Data centres. Our homeowners, our small businesses are paying for what data centres should be fairly contributing towards. So your policy approach is always about who is inside the tent, who has the resources to influence your policy, and we pay the price. So I'll say again, we had a publicly owned electricity infrastructure, which was our pride as a people. You handed it away, you put it into the hands of the few in terms of wealth, and this is where we are today. So none of this is by accident.
The author of a major review into the covert surveillance of journalists and lawyers by police in Northern Ireland has found the practice was not widespread or systemic. However, the independent McCullough Review does identify over 20 attempts made by the PSNI to identify journalist sources. The review makes 16 recommendations in total. John Boucher is the chief constable of the PSNI and he's apologised to two of the journalists.
These experiences of both men have now been dealt with appropriately in the courts, with findings rightfully in favour of both Mr Burney and Mr McCaffrey. I again apologise to both of them for the failings that occurred.
Uisce Éireann says it's now expected that supply will be restored to Letchermacha ward by 8 o'clock tonight. It may take longer for supply to return to surrounding villages and in some cases maybe tomorrow morning before normal pressure levels have fully returned. Alternative water supplies are available at the Chapel Car Park in Letchermacha ward and at Narn Beach. The outage was caused by a mechanical issue at the Letchermacha ward water treatment plant, which is currently being addressed by Uisce Éireann crews. Meanwhile, the boil water notice in the Kildaff public water supply has been lifted. Following consultation with the HSE, Uisce Éireann say customers can now resume normal use of their water supply. The boil water notice was issued on August the 18th following a decline in the raw water quality entering Kildaff water treatment plant.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the Northwest leader in sports equipment for clubs and schools at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with Gaelic Games. Delegates from the Ulster counties have unanimously backed a return of pre-season competitions in the province for 2026. The Dr. McKenna Cup will return in football, while hurling will see the return of the Conor McGurk Cup, which is a competition that Donegal won in 2024. The vote took place last night at a meeting of the Ulster CCC. Cork legend Thomas Mulcahy says Patrick Hogan is up there with the very best hurlers to have ever lined out for the Rebels. Hogan announced his retirement after 18 years of intercounty hurling, where he became the top scorer in the history of both the league and championship. Mulcahy has managed the 37-year-old at club level with Glen Rovers and says he is one of the greatest to ever play the game.
The name of Christy Ring comes up in a big way as being the greatest of them all. Uh-huh. I never saw Christy Ring play. I didn't have the privilege to see him play. And everywhere you went, the length and the breadth of the country, Christy Ring's name was always there. For me, Hoggy's up there, to be honest with you. From what I saw, what I witnessed over that period of time. 18 years, incredible, incredible feat to do it and do it consistently on a regular basis.
Moving on to soccer, Finn Harps have announced they're welcoming applications for the part-time role of head of academy. The club say they're looking for an ambitious coach that could further grow the academy programme, helping develop and shape the future of the club by nurturing academy talent. FAI CEO David Currell has told the Oireachtas Sports Committee that they meant no disrespect in seeking to defer their appearance. Before their U-turn yesterday, Irish football's governing body said they wouldn't be able to attend, citing concerns that it could influence a Garda investigation into an alleged mistreatment of female footballers by male coaches. Committee Chair and Labour TD Alan Kelly criticised the association for the delay in their appearance, having initially been invited last July. Liverpool manager Arne Slot says he's disappointed by the stupid red card that Hugo Ekitike received last night. The striker received a second yellow card for removing his shirt after scoring the winner in a 2-1 victory over Southampton in the EFL Cup. Ekitike will now miss Liverpool's clash with Crystal Palace this weekend, and Slot says it was completely avoidable.
It was stupid, not smart, in every sense. And the good thing was that his teammates helped him because we could bring the winger over the line, but if the information is correct, he's now suspended for Saturday, and that's far from ideal.
Holders Newcastle begin their EFL Cup defence with a home tie against League One Bradford City tonight. Elsewhere, Arsenal go to Port Vale, Spurs host Doncaster Rovers, and Manchester City are away to Huddersfield Town. Having dropped into the Europa League, Celtic face Red Star Belgrade in their opener in Serbia tonight. And Ange Postecoglou can't wait to lead Nottingham Forest into their first European match in nearly 30 years. The two-time European Cup winners are in Spain to face Real Betis in their Europa League opener tonight. Postecoglou says it's a big moment for the club.
Being in Europe is exciting. You know, I've always enjoyed it. It challenges you in different ways, challenges the players in different ways, and winning away in Europe is tough. But if you can manage that, it always remains in the memory as something special. So hugely looking forward to this campaign.
Finally, in rowing, Philip Doyle and Fintan McCarthy's semi-final at the World Championships has been pushed back due to the weather. The Irish duo's men's double race in Shanghai has been rescheduled for tomorrow after a series of wind delays this morning. That's all your sport for today. We're back with more tomorrow morning. Michaela.
Thanks, Mark. And returning to some news, the Oireachtas Fisheries Committee has been told that fishers have been constantly denied financial support from Europe on the basis that there is no provision for them in the common fisheries policy, but there are supports available for other sectors such as artists. Michael Desmond, the chair of the National Inshore Fishermen's Association, told the committee that even when money was made available to the industry under the Brexit Adjustment Reserve, the inshore sector saw very little of that money and received no direct payments. Mr. Desmond told the committee there's a stark difference in how fishers and farmers are treated.
And the financial supports, the farmers get it and they're entitled to it, but like the price of beef and milk are higher now than it ever was, and they can still get supports. We were told that because it wasn't written into the common fishery policy, so we couldn't get anything off the state, and it was written into the common agricultural policy at a European level. But then there's nothing written into a common artist policy, but yet the state can find the money for that because of their importance to the culture and heritage of Ireland. Like, are we not as important to the culture and heritage of Ireland? Like, but the real killer for us was there was 242 million euros available through BAR funding, and 95% of the fleet, the inshore sector, got nothing. You will be told by the state, oh, they did, they got it this way and they got it that way, there was 40 million given to them. Then when you look into it, you'll say, oh, but that went to the peers. The bigger lads got it into their hand. The money we received from Minister McConnellogue at the time did not come out of BAR funding.
Midlands North West MEP Maria Walsh, meanwhile, has been elected Vice President of the new EPP Farmers Group. The group will play a central role in shaping agriculture policy in the EU, bringing together MEPs, national politicians and farming organisations. Ms Walsh says she will ensure that the voice of farmers who are facing unique challenges will be heard in Europe.
I am delighted to have been elected the Vice President of a newly established EPP Farmers Group, a key platform which will play a very central role in shaping agriculture policy in the EU. As many will know, the EPP is the biggest political group in the European Parliament. And when it comes to agriculture, this is where those decisions are made. The real ones are being made. I am proud to take up this role as Vice President to represent Irish farmers, especially those living and working across Midlands and North West, who face unique challenges and opportunities, and their voice will be heard at the very heart of Europe. With an uphill battle ahead of us as we negotiate the future of the Common Agricultural Policy, we need a strong pro-farmers representative in Brussels, and the EPP Farmers Group will be the central vessel for decisions relating to the future of the European agricultural sector as it brings together MEPs, national politicians and farm organisations. My work priorities for this group are very simple: fighting for fair incomes for farmers, delivering an EU-wide generation renewal strategy, and delivering tailor-made supports and programmes for female farmers. This new group puts young farmers and agri-SMEs front and centre, exactly where our focus needs to be if we want a sustainable, thriving future for the Irish and European agriculture sector.
Oireachtas members have been urged to name alcohol as a priority in the new national drug strategy. The CEO of Alcohol Forum Ireland, a Donegal-based charity, says it allowed them, the Coalition for Better Alcohol Policy, to present the real-life stories of those who bear the burden of alcohol harm. Paula Leonard says the next steps will see the group appear before the Health Oireachtas Committee.
does what it says on the tin. It's about briefing people as to, you know, particular issues within Irish society and having an opportunity to talk to your politicians and present on that. But we were very clear that the number of things that we want to see is that alcohol is definitely clearly included as a priority in the National Drug Strategy, that there is a programme of work attached to that, and that there is a budget attached to that. Because, you know, I'm delighted this morning I'll be heading down to the North West Regional Drug and Alcohol Task Force meeting in Donegal Town at 11 o'clock. But task forces were handed responsibility for alcohol. Their brief was extended back in 2014, but they've never been given an additional budget to do that work. So these are things that just need to be addressed. And our calls yesterday was, we want to see if meaningfully included in the National Drug Strategy. That doesn't just mean lines on a page, it also needs to mean budget attached. We want to meet with the Minister for Health to raise our concerns, and we want to appear before the Oireachtas Health Committee, because there and then that is where you start to have, you know, changes made. So yesterday really was about just laying out our stall and saying to people, these are our priorities, and then the next piece is the follow-up on those conversations that we had yesterday.
For weather now, cloudier conditions will develop this evening with patchy light rain and drizzle, highest temperatures of 13 to 15 degrees. The closing headlines this evening: Tusla has commenced investigations after a young child was injured at a childcare facility in Donegal. It's understood the child had been transferred to Dublin for hospital treatment. A judge at Belfast Crown Court has ruled hearsay evidence in the trial of Soldier F is admissible. It means the trial will now continue. Drink driving in Donegal increased 111% over the past year. Latest CSO figures also show that the number of harassment incidents, assaults and public order offences are up in the county also. And the HSE has acknowledged that Donegal faces specific problems in fulfilling home help requests due to its geography. Figures presented to the HSE's Regional Health Forum show that at the end of August, 334 people were awaiting a home support service in the county, down 18%. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 24th of September. The death has occurred of Una Agnes Smith, née McLaughlin, Troy Park, Derry, formerly of McGinn Avenue, Buncrana. Una's remains will repose at Murphy's Funeral Home, Tubin Burnfoot, this evening and tomorrow evening from 6pm to 9pm. Removal from there on Friday morning at 10:15, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Alzheimer's Society, care of any family member, or Sean Murphy, funeral director. The death has taken place of Evelyn Ruddy, Kindroyhead, Dlinili. Evelyn's remains are en route to her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:20 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Buchan, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on cooldaffparish.com. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Ardeven Dementia Unit, Carndonagh Community Hospital, care of any family member, or Eamon McLaughlin, funeral director. And the death has taken place of Patricia Patsy Brennan, née Barron, 325 Conybrough Road, Lifford, formerly of Ballyshannon and Athlone. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford at 11:30. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. No wake, the house is strictly private, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.